Welcome to our Wednesday night fireside chat via Facebook Live, also being turned into a podcast of questionable sound quality as I figured this all out. I have committed to doing a live video chat every night during the stay-at-home order. I realize now that the stay-at-home order is likely to be extended past 2 weeks, it was foolish of me to make such a promise. So at this point, we're just kind of doing it, going along. We'll see exactly how much longer I can take this. I will say that I understand a lot of people right now, because it is a stay-at-home order, are in fact staying at home. That is good. You should be doing that. But it does make it, it's lonely for a lot of people. Right? People are feeling lonely. And I get that. I get it. Depending on the situation you're in, I mean, a lot of people can feel lonely even if they live with people. Lonely in the sense that, okay, you know, it's good to be married to your partner of 30 years, but you don't want to be with him or her literally 24/7 every single day unless you're on vacation, because on vacation there are other perks to that kind of week away from the real world. But a lot of us are in the real world right now, and the real world, unfortunately, is very scary for a lot of folks, either from a health perspective or from an economic perspective. Now, if you're dealing with health concerns, that's going to be paramount. If you're not, then it's all about specifically the economic situation that you're in. And it's going to be different depending on what industry you're in. So, for example, me, I've decided to stay at home for now to do the rest of, at least the rest of this week's worth of the show, mostly because producer Peyton is just, he's a lot. He's just a lot to handle. And I just kind of wanted to see how it would get along with this. And part of me wanted to do it mostly because I'm lazy. I did sleep in today. I woke up at 8:30. Do you understand how big that is? I took a sleeping pill last night, which is actually what I do every night because I haven't been able to fall asleep naturally in about 10 years. So I took my sleeping pill. I watched an episode and a half of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which actually I was talking about this with someone yesterday. It's not a very good season, this 10th season. It feels forced, but it is still good. I still enjoyed it. I had some moments. I went to bed, I want to say by 11:30, and I woke up, well, then I woke up at 12:22 a.m. because someone called me stupidly. But then I fell right back to sleep. And I woke up at like 8:20, 8:30, something like that. And that has not happened to me for a very, very long time. So I did enjoy that. But I worked pretty much all day. I didn't really have any downtime. I had a couple Microsoft team meetings that I did with other folks. And, you know, I was pretty productive. And, you know, I'm lucky in that I work in an industry that is, quote unquote, essential. It is. And that I'm able to do it from the house if I wanted, although I can go into the studio if I needed to. But I know a lot of other people aren't in that position, so you guys are struggling. And what we're trying to do on the show is each and every day, I have a goal of checking in with a different community. And not the Seattle community, although Seattle obviously we talk about, but I want to make sure that we're paying attention to the communities out there that are often forgotten by the media. You know, we do a segment every day at 4:30 called The Big Local, which in a lot of ways is my favorite segment of the day, where I completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle. And instead, I focus on these other communities that often get ignored. Because for the most part, the journalists who work at any of the TV or radio stations, they kind of live in the Seattle area. The writers for the Times and everything, they're focused almost exclusively on Seattle. So during the segment, we go all around the state and we check in with stories that are important to folks. So now during the regular show, outside of The Big Local, we've been having a lot of guests on focused exclusively, almost exclusively, on the struggles of dealing with the coronavirus, specifically the economic side of things. And so today, for example, we checked in the city of Kingston, our friends in Kingston. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we talked about a theater that was struggling already going into the coronavirus crisis, and now they're struggling just as much. The money to their GoFundMe page isn't coming in. So we did some work with them. We checked in with a pair of volunteers who are working with a restaurant out in Woodinville to give food, dinners, multi-course dinners to healthcare workers. We checked in with, what else have we done? The barber yesterday from Newcastle. So we're trying to do what we can to make sure that we are, you know, we are providing coverage to the communities so that they don't feel like we've forgotten them or that this area has forgotten them. Because I imagine if you live in Poulsbo or Port Orchard, and I don't know why I chose to go with two P's. I mean, what if you live in Kenmore or Kirkland? I did it again. I did two K's. I don't know why I'm doing that. How about this? Let's say you live in Monroe or Milton, the gem of Pierce County. I bet you thought I was going to do another M. Oh, wait, no. Darn it. But we don't want you to think that we've forgotten you. So we will be continuing to check in. And a lot of what we're doing, I would love it if you would help us out. If you know of really good causes of folks in your community who are stepping up and trying to help during this crisis in whatever way they know how, let us know. Send us a note. Hit us up on email at ktth.com. Just click on the inbox and you can send me an email directly. That way I can actually hear from you guys who have better ideas than maybe I'm able to find out there, because we're kind of going at this a little bit blind. So the big story, I guess, today coming from the Trump administration was guidance potentially coming on domestic travel. We haven't really done much domestic travel restrictions beyond just giving some common sense pointers of, hey, remember, if you're going into a hot zone, you're going into a hot zone. But they didn't restrict anything. Today, the president indicated that they were certainly having more conversations, at least, about it. What that ends up meaning, I don't know. My assumption is it's going to impact New York City the hardest, and then you're going to start going into some of the smaller cities on the, you know, outside of the top 10 markets. So you're going to hit Seattle. I'm assuming you'll hit San Francisco. That's another big city. Any of the cities in the big metro areas in the hot zones, I imagine, will have some sort of impact. And man, when you're talking about Seattle, SeaTac, the city of SeaTac is already hurting. SeaTac Airport is hurting, which means the workers at SeaTac Airport are hurting, which means the city of SeaTac, which depends on tourism, is hurting. And it's not like SeaTac, the city, is flush with cash. They're not getting like the tech cash that a Seattle does or a Redmond and Bellevue have. So they're struggling right now. And if we get in place a domestic travel ban, that's a problem. Number two, I don't want them to cancel the RNC because I've already bought my tickets. And I just feel like it's going to be a hassle to cancel all that stuff. Though we didn't get the hotel rooms yet. We're actually, that reminds me that maybe we should reach out to Fox News to get hotel rooms. I'm also concerned about my July vacation, but I know we shouldn't be talking about that at a time like now. But the one weird thing is in all of this, you know, people, I think a lot of people are starting to think selfishly. And I say selfishly in air quotes, in that it's technically selfish for someone right now during a global pandemic to worry about their vacation in July. But that's what normal people do. People right now are pissed off that they can't watch a baseball game. You should be pissed off when you can watch a Mariners game. I'm kidding. I'm mad that I don't get to watch soccer. And is that selfish? Yes. Is it important in the grand scheme of things? No. But once you get into the stuff that impacts our daily lives beyond the sort of catastrophic, it, in a weird way, it becomes even more real to people. And they start to get a little bit more upset. Is that wrong? Am I a bad person for being concerned about my July vacation that I spent a lot of money on and the hassle of having to cancel that? I don't think I'm wrong for that. I can hold that position and still say other things are way more important. Is it wrong for me to miss soccer at this point? To you guys, because some of you hate soccer maybe, but to me, it's an important part of my life. And I think it's okay to acknowledge that some quote-unquote frivolous things are important to all of us. They're not always so frivolous, even though on paper, it seems so. Someone in the chat room, for folks who are listening on the podcast, asking me if I watched the Laura Ingraham show tonight. I watched a portion of it. that's all I have to say. For those of you who are, in fact, listening to this on the podcast, every single day I'm trying to do a Facebook Live or a Twitter Live. I don't know what they call Periscope, I guess. Maybe one day we'll do Instagram as well. Just to keep people company and during the stay-at-home order, I usually allow people to type in questions, whether it's on Facebook or on Twitter, questions as to anything that's on their mind. Jim, for example, asks how long until it's over. What will be back to normal actually look like? And how will we know it's over? How will it be over? It'll be over when we start to see a flattening of the curve. And it doesn't mean 2 days in a row we see a decline of deaths or contagious cases, right? Positive cases. It means over several periods of time we start to see that going down, both in the national sense and really in the international sense too, at least as it comes to some of the travel restrictions, but then also on the local level. So for example, people have looked at what's going on in Washington State, and so far it's been actually really good. Now, to be fair, we're going to see the spike hit us at the worst on April 19th is what we generally think. Health experts say that April 19th is about where they expect the peak. So after the 19th, they're going to start looking at the data even closer and see if it goes down. And at what rate is it going down? And at that point, at least from a Washington perspective, we'll likely see a stop to at least some of the restrictions. So maybe it's not a stay-at-home order, but it was what we had before a stay-at-home order, saying, you know what, we're going to open some of our places, but still we want you to socially distance. Now, maybe, again, it all depends on what the numbers actually look like. They say, okay, Chelan, you're good to go. Spokane County, you're good to go. Pierce County, awesome. Island County, all good. King County, Snohomish not loving the numbers yet, and maybe they keep some sort of issue in place there. So, but we'll see. Now, nationally, it's basically going to be the same thing, although I doubt it's going to be over by the 19th. But we'll see what ends up happening. So the quote-unquote good news, even though it's not necessarily good per se, but the cases are the worst in New York City, and they represent the bulk of the new cases and the bulk of the cases, period. Some of that obviously has to do with the testing capabilities. Let's assume that that's not the case. Let's just assume that New York City, because of its density, is the worst of the worst. Well, if they're the worst of the worst, of course it's still serious and it's still going to mean some restrictions in place, particularly in the East Coast. But maybe that means nationally we say, okay, you know what, you're good to go in Washington and California and Oregon and Utah and Idaho and Nevada and all those other states. New York, we're still keeping an eye on you. And, you know, Rhode Island, you're pretty close. Connecticut, you're close. We're going to keep you on the list of be more worried kind of thing. So we'll see what it ends up meaning. Let's see, what does this question say? Hold on. Do you think that we will go in a total lockdown? This is the lockdown that we're going to have. It's not going to be any different than this. Unless something catastrophic happens. You're not going to have the governor have National Guard patrolling our streets to make sure that we're not going outside. So what we have now, that's about it. Some people ask me, in fact, we just got an email to the show about Representative Adam Smith, who did an interview tonight on Tucker Carlson. He was asked point blank. So let me go back for a second, because we didn't get a chance to talk about it on the show. But Todd Herman has a really good blog on it right now. Chief Carmen Best put out a video on her Twitter account about calling 911 in cases of hate crimes or people just using racist language or racist name calling. You can call 911 for that, which in most cases you actually should not do that. Let's see if this works. Tell me if you guys can hear it on the Facebook Live.
Washington State state is no place for hate. In a show of solidarity between police and community, I'm joined today by Lori Matsukawa.
Thank you, Chief. You know, hate crimes have no place in our community. We're better than that, Washington. We're all trying to deal with the COVID-19 public health crisis together. If you are a victim of a hate crime or hate-based harassment, please call 911.
Exactly, Lori. We will document and investigate every reported hate crime. Even racist name-calling should be reported to police. We take this information very seriously. If you aren't sure if a hate crime occurred, call 911. We are here to help.
If you're not sure a hate crime occurred, call 911. With all due respect to the chief, and it kind of feels like I'm picking on her because I wrote a story about her earlier this week. If it's not a hate crime, if it's not a crime, you shouldn't be calling 911. Now, if you want to call the non-emergency number, go ahead and do that. And, you know, again, err on the side of wherever you want to err. For me, I think there are kind of way more important things to deal with right now, because my sense is burglary is going up. I'm willing to bet that once we get the data from the SPD, it's going to show that. I know that we are letting people out of jail and we're choosing not to book most misdemeanors, including, by the way, before they realize their mistake, after we brought attention to it. Francisco Calderon, 75-time convict, out on the streets, released after threatening two gay men with a needle. Could you all focus on that? And so on Tucker Carlson's show tonight, Tucker asked Congressman Adam Smith of Seattle, specifically, if someone was to say Chinese virus, should 911 be called? And he didn't answer the question at all. And so I put out a statement or a question requesting a statement from the SPD, and I'll talk about it on the show tomorrow, but they also just don't answer my question directly. And they won't, because they know that if they were to say no, then they might be implying that saying Chinese virus is not racist, which is what lunatic Seattleites seem to think is the case. I certainly think using the term Chinese virus can be done in a racist way. That's true. I believe that. I think it can be used in a bigoted way, in a demeaning way. But I don't think it's on its surface demeaning or bigoted or wrong in any way, shape, or form. You see, the virus started in China. Now, if China wasn't going out of its way for a PR campaign, a propaganda campaign, to pretend they did nothing wrong, to pretend that they didn't cover this up, to pretend that the United States government, the military, is responsible, if that wasn't happening, maybe we wouldn't need to call it the Chinese virus. But we're in the middle of a propaganda campaign that's being made even more tenable by folks over at NBC in particular, but CNN as well, because they want to take this Chinese propaganda and use it to bludgeon President Trump because they loathe this man. They loathe this president. If they weren't doing this, then maybe we wouldn't need to have this conversation. I don't think it would be called the Chinese virus. And by the way, even the president isn't calling it that. I haven't heard him call that, call it the Chinese virus or the Wuhan virus for a week or so. He's now moved to calling it the invisible enemy, which I also kind of like, although it kind of also reminds me of the movie It Follows, which I haven't actually seen because my last producer told me that it would give me horrible nightmares. But, you know, it is not racist to call it the Chinese virus, nor was it racist to say Spanish flu or West Nile. Just stop this nonsense. We now word police. And if you're telling me that's what you're really, truly worried about, like that's your biggest issue, then maybe we don't have a global pandemic where thousands of people are dying. Maybe I'm living in a different world. I call y'all delusional for thinking it's an appropriate time to word police. Maybe I'm the one who's delusional. Maybe all of this I've just made up in my head. Just stop. But other than that, I have no thoughts on the matter. Anyway, I appreciate all of you tuning in. Really do like that you come and join us on Facebook. Again, to our podcast friends, because I'm uploading this without any, again, my apologies to the podcast people. I'm just talking at my computer, and I don't got a setup because the setup doesn't work on the computer. It only works on the radio. So the quality is going to be a little bit different. But we're going to do these every single night or day, depending on if it's a weekend, for example. I might not do it over on a night. Maybe one of these days I'll do one in the morning when I'm cranky and drinking my coffee. But we're going to do these during the stay-at-home orders because I know that a lot of people are feeling a little down, a little anxious. And the one thing that perks everybody up is me. Thank you.